Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah? So Andrea is officially away to have her baby, and so it will be a little while until we hear her on the podcast again. I know I don't just speak for myself when I say that she'll be dearly missed, but it's not all bad. We have your newest fluency coach, Kase, here in the virtual studio. In today's podcast, you will get to know Kase better while also learning some useful questions that you can use to make conversations more interesting. Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
rewarding
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, riding your bike, traveling on an airplane, or even
mowing the lawn.
I'm joined here in the global virtual studio by the amazing Kase.
Hey guys, hey Ethan.
How's it going, Kase?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. A little bit jet-lagged still.
Yeah, same.
Both Kase and I, if you don't follow us too regularly on this podcast, we both just got back from Brazil because we had our annual summit with the entire company in Brazil. So both of us had to cross the Atlantic. I think it was especially difficult going from South Africa because you had to fly all the way up to Europe and then across the Atlantic, right?
Yeah, it was really tiring. I think in total, I think I spent about 20 hours, you know, each time flying. Oh, is that right? It's more than 20 hours.
It's probably more, like, yeah.
Closer to 40 hours, I think, in total.
Yeah. Including like the layovers and everything?
Yeah, including everything.
Really crazy stuff.
Yeah. That's right.
But we're going to get more into that because today I'm going to be putting you in the hot seat so that the audience can get to know all about you. What does that mean to be put in the hot seat?
To be put on the spot or to be put in an uncomfortable position, you know, having to answer questions that you're not prepared for.
Hopefully not too uncomfortable. Hopefully it'll be easy breezy. So before we get into putting you on the hot seat, we have a shout out to a very special listener and app user.
So today's shout out is to Clyde. He says that this is a very practical app, gathering almost all the skills you need to improve your English and reach the next level. Listening, reading, and speaking here isn't an addition. You can listen not only to native speakers, but learners as well. Thank you for this app and keep going.
Yeah, thanks so much for the 5-star review or 5-star rating for the app, Clyde. And that really is one of the wonderful parts of it, is like the cultural exchange aspect of it. So that's something that we just had a lot in Brazil, because with our team, we're coming from all over. So speaking to some native speakers like Kase and myself, but then also speaking to people from Argentina, from all different parts of Brazil, from Ukraine, from Poland. It was a very truly international global experience.
Totally.
And that's kind of the same experience that you get on the app, because you never know who you're going to run into, where that person will be from, what kinds of things they'll be able to share with you about their part of the world. So go and check it out if you haven't already. And if you enjoy it, you can go to the App Store, leave us a 5-star review, and that way we can shout you out just like we have Clyde today. And Cassie's probably starting to get a bit nervous, but we're still not going to get into the questions yet, because we have a couple kick-ass quotes to share with you before we get into today's main topic. All right, Kase, since you are the guest of honor, sort of, you're not the guest, you'll be a new host, but I'll let you do the honors of sharing. We have two quotes, so you could maybe share the first one. I can share the second one.
Sure. Okay, so the first quote says, "True friends are never apart, maybe in distance, but never in heart."
It's kind of a nice little, it's almost like a poem, isn't it?
It is. Where is it from? Okay, I haven't heard this one. before.
Yeah, I think it said it was anonymous, actually. There it wasn't attributed to any person. But I saw this one and I thought it was, I mean, today's topic, we're doing a lot of questions and stuff, which can be a great way to deepen your relationship with someone and make a new friend. But I thought that this one, it like spoke to me because we just came back from, as we've been saying repeatedly. So we felt like we really built not only better relationships, but friendships with the people that we work with here at Real Life English, because a lot of them, we were seeing for the first time ever in person. We see each other all the time, like over video, but it was our first time meeting a lot of them in person. And so it's kind of like that, right? Speaks really well to that kind of experience. And if you're using our app or if in other ways you're making friends in other countries, it can kind of be that feeling that, okay, you're separated by a long distance, but, you know, never by heart.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And I agree. I think, you know, meeting everyone on the team for the first time was incredible. And I do feel that, you know, this quote really speaks to that, that sort of distance. And, you know, now that we've met in person, we will always carry one another in our hearts. And yeah, it's real now. It's a real, it's not only a feeling, but it's memories, and it was real. It was a real experience. So it's really special. Yeah.
And you even have some students that you met up with there as well, right? In Brazil.
Yeah, that's right. I met about four of my students, some in São Paulo and some in Florianópolis. And it was incredible to see that people were willing to come all the way to meet up with other students just so that they could see me. So they met up with strangers just to have the opportunity to meet their teacher. And it was priceless. It was really, really special to me. Yeah.
So I absolutely love that you like can meet someone online and then you can maybe someday like actually meet in person, like take that relationship to a different level. And quickly, the second quote, a friend is one who overlooks your broken fence and admires the flowers in your garden. So what's a fence?
A fence is a barrier on the outside, usually made of like wood, usually wooden, or I guess it could be mesh too. Some people have mesh or metal fences. It's the barrier on the perimeter of like property, usually. So like your house could have a little white picket fence. So.
Right. That's like the American dream, right? Is like the white picket fence, the yard, the dog.
Yeah.
And what does overlook mean? What does it mean to overlook something?
To overlook something means to notice it, but not focus on it. So if your friend is overlooking your fence, it means that they're not focusing on the brokenness of the fence. So they're focusing on, you know, the beautiful flowers in your garden. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a metaphor, right? It's like, I think that's kind of like a definition for love too, right? Is like that you're not focused so much on someone's flaws or their imperfections or their shortcomings, which I think strangers tend to focus more, you know, on your problems, on your mistakes, on your shortcomings. But like a true friend, you know, or someone who loves you, they're more focused on, you know, what is it that makes you special inside despite those imperfections.
Exactly. And I love this quote, actually. I think it's, you know, as you said, I think that sort of judging a book by its cover or, you know, making those prejudgments without even meeting someone, I think it's so normal. It's so human. It's what we do every day. And I think this sort of speaks to, you know, how we should all ideally live our lives, not only as friends, but, you know, as strangers too.
Very well said. Yeah, it's something that I definitely try to catch myself, you know, when I make those prejudgments about people. I think like being a global citizenship, it's one of the big efforts, the big labors of, you know, trying to really grow as a global citizen, I think is catching yourself when you make those prejudgments and then trying to see beyond that, trying to see, not focus so much on the broken fence, but trying to see like, you know, what kinds of beautiful flowers does this person have planted in their garden?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So I think people are already starting to get to know you a little bit. Maybe they listened already to a podcast we did a few episodes ago with you. So your voice might not be completely unfamiliar, but today you're going to really get to know Kase a lot better, which is amazing because you're going to be hearing and seeing a lot more of her. So let's jump into today's main topic. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey there, Real Lifer. Have you downloaded the Real Life English app yet? On the app, Andrea and I will guide you beyond the classroom to live, learn, and even speak English in the real world. So how do we do this? To start with, you can listen to the Real Life English podcast and Beyond Borders talk show, even this very episode, with digital transcripts so that you can follow along and develop your listening fluency. Plus, check dozens of definitions of all the most difficult vocabulary, idioms, phrasal verbs, slang, and so much more that you won't find anywhere else or in any other podcast. And how would you like to develop real-life speaking confidence at the touch of a button by speaking with other learners while making friends across cultures? Sounds like a dream, right? Well, now with the Real Life app, it will be a dream come true. Download the app to listen to our podcast with transcripts and definitions whenever and wherever you want, and speak with people from all around the world. What are you waiting for? Join our global community today by clicking the link in the description of this podcast or by going to www.realifeglobal.com/app. That's APP. Or simply search for the Real Life English app in the Google Play or Apple App Store today and let us guide you beyond the classroom to live and learn and speak English in the real world. Aw, yeah. First question. So we already hinted at this, probably already said it, but where are you from?
I'm from Cape Town in South Africa.
So Cape Town, and maybe people have heard of it from the World Cup was there several years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2010.
Mm-hmm. Some of the games. That's crazy that that was already 2010. Doesn't seem that long ago, right?
Yeah, it doesn't. But I guess to me, it kind of does because a lot has changed since then.
I suppose.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that long ago. I agree. Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like a connection to Barcelona where I live because it's, kind of a superficial connection, but that one of the power couples here is like Shakira and Piqué, and they met in South Africa because she did kind of like the song for it and everything. I think she performed there, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that's where they met, and you know, nowadays they're married, and I think they have two kids and mm-hmm. everything, and they're a very famous couple here in Barcelona.
Yeah, I think we all love Shakira. Shakira is amazing. She's gorgeous and she's so talented. Crazy to think that was 12 years ago.
So. Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
All right. And how many languages do you speak?
I speak 2 languages fluently, and then I have a couple of like fractions of languages. I think my Portuguese is like, you know, a quarter, and I know some Zulu, I know some Isikasa, I know some a little bit of Spanish now too, a little bit. So I feel like I know a fraction of quite a few languages.
You're an aspiring polyglot.
Yeah, maybe I'll reach that level someday, like you.
And what are the 2 languages that you speak? English, obviously.
English and Afrikaans.
Afrikaans. And for people who aren't familiar, what can you share some things about Afrikaans? What kind of language is it?
Yeah.
How did you learn it?
Sure. Okay, so Afrikaans is quite similar to Dutch. I think I believe that 95% of the words we use in Afrikaans are of Dutch origin. And it's a language that was sort of, you know, it's all of the colonial languages plus the indigenous languages of South Africa that were sort of mixed and, you know, a new language was formed. And it's a language that, you know, was taught during the apartheid era. So I think most of the country can understand Afrikaans, and that's why we learn it in school. But yeah, I think it's a beautiful language, and it's quite cool that, you know, we can understand Dutch without ever having to learn it. So yeah, it's a great language.
That's pretty cool. And how did you learn it?
Well, my parents are bilingual as well. So, you know, I grew up listening to Afrikaans at home and learning it at school. But English was always my mother tongue. It was always the language that I used for communication and, you know, consuming and education and consuming media and education. And yeah, so I grew up with Afrikaans as my second language. And as I grew older, I just became more fascinated with using it. So yeah, now I'm fluent in both.
Mm-hmm. That's like so special to grow up with two languages.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty special. It is confusing though, because in South Africa, we tend to mesh languages. Mm. So we use, you know, different languages in our English. And of course, this is not ideal, but it does help us understand, you know, people on a cultural level, even if we don't always speak their languages. So we know one or two words in a particular language and it becomes part of the South African dialect.
Mm-hmm. That is a really cool phenomenon. The same thing happens here with Catalan and Spanish, is that even if you're speaking one of the two, like oftentimes you might use a word, like a word comes more readily from the other one. And so you like use that, you throw it in there. But it makes it more special than a place where that's like, you only have like one language. And what's something interesting about you that most people don't know?
Okay, so I would say, I don't know if this is something interesting about me or something interesting about what I'm interested in. So when I worked as a journalist, I think one of my favorite types of stories to report on was stories about marginalized groups in society. And so this, you know, obviously these were stories that the mainstream media wouldn't cover. And one of my favorite stories to date is one that I did on a group called PASOP. So PASOP is an organization, a nonprofit organization that's sort of devoted to helping refugees and asylum seekers in South Africa, or immigrants for that matter, who are fleeing from their countries due to war or being persecuted, but specifically the LGBTI community. And what happens is that they provide them with shelter, they provide them with help in getting their South African citizenship. And it was really just one of those stories that, you know, inspired me to want to tell stories of hope and, you know, a better future. And I think that's what I love about real life, is that, you know, of course it's not the same thing, but I just love being able to make a difference in the world and being able to give people hope and the possibility of a better life. So yeah, that's
so sweet. No, I love it. It's really fantastic. I think there's a lot of things there, like you used to work as a journalist, which is something that I think we can definitely talk more about in the future, because I think you have a lot of interesting stories that came from reporting on news and different stories around South Africa.
Yeah. Mostly in Cape Town though.
Mostly in Cape Town. So shifting, I guess, probably to something lighter, what's your favorite food?
Okay, so I live in a coastal town, and we have lots of great seafood here, but I love meat. Oh, I could eat meat all day, and I know that's like really horrible because you don't eat meat, but
I'm used to it.
Yeah, it's my favorite. I think I could do any barbecue or steak with some salad or something. Just love it. Could eat it anytime. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
What do you call a barbecue there? Because I know you guys have a special name.
Yeah, we do. It's called a braai. Braai. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It's basically the same thing as a barbecue. Maybe a little different. Maybe we do things a little differently. Like, we never use gas, and we, it's a little different. But it's the same thing. It's meat.
Yeah. I think it's, well, I mean, this is like a special thing in a lot of cultures, like we saw in Brazil, and there's like a rivalry, right, between like Argentinian way of doing it and the Brazilian way of doing it and everything.
Yeah.
But I know, because I had a friend who lived in Cape Town, and I think it is something quite unique there, and because she like adopted the word and everything. She said, like, you know, I'm going to a braai, not I'm going to a barbecue, because I think it is like a bit different than going to a barbecue in the U.S.,
Exactly. Like, for example, like braai is the event. Like, I'm going to, like, yeah, it's the event, and it's like the, like, we're brying, we're, like, the bry is the party. Like, it's not only, I don't know, I guess you guys do too. That sounds dumb now that I think about it. Like, you guys say, like, I'm going to a barbecue, like, we're barbecuing, but is the barbecue, like, the event, or do you say, like, we're barbecuing at the party? I don't know, I'm not actually sure.
You probably would, yeah, you might say, like, a barbecue party using it. I mean, you could say, I'm going to a barbecue, but you'd often hear it used, like, that way if you want to refer to, it's kind of like a party, it'd be a barbecue party.
Okay, yeah, I guess it's similar. Like, we would say a bring and bry. Bring and bry would be you bring your own meat. Oh, the host that's bries amazing. It. Yeah, so we have, like, different types of bries. But it's like a spit bry. A spit bry is like a whole, you're not going to like this, but it's like a whole animal on, like, yeah. So it's
on a spit. Yeah.
On a spit. There's all, yeah, different kinds of bries that you could attend. But anyway, yeah, favorite kind of food.
What's your favorite TV series?
Oh, man. Okay, so it's a toss-up between maybe Black Mirror and The Office.
Deep. Really, The Office.
Yeah.
The British Office or the American?
Oh, definitely the American Office.
The American.
Yeah. Michael Scott is tops. I love him.
He was amazing. That's so funny, though, because, like, I think the first podcast we ever did with Andrea, we also kind of talked about that, and her favorite one was The Office. I think hers was The British Office, but she loves both of them.
Okay. Yeah, it's good. It's really good.
What a coincidence. Black Mirror, that's a really great one. And do you have, like, any guilty pleasure series or movie that, you know, you might do if you're feeling, like, a little bit blue?
I have one that, like, I probably know all the words to. It's Not Another Teen Movie. I remember that was such a stupid movie from when I was a kid. But whenever I watch that movie, I laugh. I think it's because I know all the lines and I sort of associate it with, like, you know, being a kid. So that's, like, one of those movies that I could watch at any time. But to be honest, like, I think my guilty pleasure is not movies. It's reality TV. I love reality TV shows. So, yeah.
Do you have a favorite one?
Oh, wow. All of the dating ones on Netflix, I love. And I also love Love Island. I love RuPaul's Drag Race, The Circle, Love is Blind. There's so many. I just, you know, I could binge. I could do it.
Yeah. I think that's, we actually should do a lesson on that, on Learning Show TV series, like some reality TV or Learning Show reality TV, because it is like a, it's not like something I'm a big fan of, but I know a lot of people are really big fans of it. And I think for learning a language, it can be interesting because it's, usually it's not like completely authentic, right? But at least it's mimicking a more something that's supposed to be authentic. And so, like, the language in it won't be, like, super, you know, scripted and stuff like that, like a sitcom would be.
Exactly. Yeah. You're right. It's not authentic, but it's so fun to watch. It's always so much drama. But yeah.
All right. What's your favorite thing to do in your free time?
Probably watch and listen to and not so much listen. I like watching podcasts. It's one of my favorite things to do. Yeah. When I have, like, a quick 50 minutes. But if I have, you know, more time, if I have maybe a couple of hours, then I like being outdoors. I think, you know, just being able to, you know, take a walk in the park, just silence. So yeah, I quite like that.
Do you have some nice parks there in Cape Town?
Yeah, we have really beautiful parks here. Some are, you know, a lot bigger than others. Like, there are parks where you can go and you can actually, you know, see some, you know, birds or other animals. But most of the parks are more like botanical gardens. And yeah, we have a couple of really nice ones.
That sounds lovely. What kind of music do you like?
Oh, another hard one. Because I think it depends on my mood. Like, I like house music, I like hip-hop, I like R&B, I love John Mayer. Anything John Mayer, you know, puts out, I'll listen to. I have a wide taste in music. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very, diverse on my mood.
Yeah, it's funny. That's something we bonded on at the in Brazil, is that both of us love John Mayer.
Yeah, oh my gosh. And you got to see him live. That's so, I'm so jealous. Yeah. Yeah, really, really jealous about that. Maybe one day. Yeah, I'm hopeful. One day I'll meet him. Maybe he'll do, like, some real life English with John Mayer.
We should make that happen, right?
Yeah, we should.
Have you picked up like any Brazilian music while you were there?
The only thing that I sort of have been listening to more of is it called Forró? Is that am I saying it right?
Forró.
Forró. Yeah. Like, because I was trying to teach my family, because obviously we learned how to dance.
How to dance it a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I've been like doing that with my family over the last 2 days, and because I just loved it so much. So that's the only thing so far. But I'm sure
Yeah, it made me curious to actually see if there's like any Forró classes here in Barcelona, which there probably are, because I know there's like a large population of Brazilian expats here. So yeah, maybe that's like a shared virtual activity we could have, dancing Forró.
I love it.
Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode. When you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I've always wanted to be a journalist. I've always wanted to tell stories, and not so much about, you know, once I became a journalist, I realized it was so dark and depressing. Mm. And I didn't, once I started doing it, I realized that it wasn't quite for me, because it was always negative. I think the opportunities to tell positive stories were very limited. And still are. And so, yeah, even though it's something I've always wanted to do, I know that it's not quite for me. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's something I've always thought would be interesting to do on the Real Life app, if somehow we could do like positive journalism, like somehow sharing interesting stories from our community members, or just sharing like positive things that are happening in the world. Because it's so easy to just get sucked into the dark stuff and to think that everything is really bad in the world and things are going to hell, as we might say. But I think when there's so much more positive always happening than negative, it's just that the focus goes to the negative, because it tends to be a bit more magnetic, a bit more, people are more sucked into it, unfortunately. But when you look for it, it's kind of, you know, I think the glass tends to be half full. So, you know, maybe you'll be able to bring that passion somehow in the future.
I'd love that. Like, I always, you know, the first time I saw Humans on New York, I was like, this is brilliant. Yeah. Like, this is what the world needs more of. And I think that was sort of a turning point for me, because then I realized like, this is possible. Maybe not, you know, in the sort of conventional mainstream way that I thought I wanted to report, or that I thought the stories I thought I wanted to tell. But yeah, I love that style of.
Sounds amazing. We could definitely do more of that on Instagram. I think here on the podcast, there's a lot of opportunities for us to share kind of stories like that, and for people to learn with them. What's your favorite thing about Brazil?
I would say people are incredibly open. They let you in so easily. And I think they're it's not just about letting you in. Like, they give so much of themselves. They're really open and warm. Well, most of the people that I've met in general, I think Brazilians are naturally just warm and open. And I think my favorite thing is the food. Besides, you know, the personalities and the positive vibe, I think the food was incredible. So, yeah.
Mm. That's what I tend to go for as well. Is like, great people, great food. What else do you need?
Exactly.
And just like beautiful places, of course. It's like we were on Florianopolis, right? It's just all these fantastic beaches and like really green and mountains. And yeah, what's not to love? What's your favorite thing about being an English teacher?
I think my favorite thing about being an English teacher is being able to see and witness that sort of boost in confidence, like people becoming comfortable with the language and seeing them realize that, you know, they are capable and, you know, they can reach whatever their language goals are. You know, whether it's, you know, I want to make new friends or I want to, you know, apply for this job and I actually got it. It's happened with some of my students where, you know, they applied for a job. We did interview prep. We worked on so many things. And what really, what was really amazing was not that it was not the lessons that we did on interview prep or, you know, working on confidence. It was actually just them opening up and, you know, being comfortable speaking. And so I think witnessing that transformation is my favorite thing. Yeah. And of course, making connections with students around the world. It's also really special. Yeah.
So I always liked that too, the cultural aspect of it, but the growth process, just watching people grow. That's truly amazing. Do you have a favorite tool that you like to use for learning other languages like Portuguese?
Well, I use so many different apps. It's hard to choose just one because I use them for different reasons. Some for grammar, some for listening. But I think my favorite one, the one that really helped me a lot, was Tandem, because it, you know, it's a free way to connect with people who speak the language you're trying to acquire, and then you make those connections and you become friends. And some of, like, my Portuguese tutor, I met him on Tandem. My student, who's now my friend, I met him on Tandem. And yeah, it's a great way to practice your speaking and listening, and it's just really good to build confidence.
Yeah. I've never used Tandem, but I've used a lot of different tools like that are for that purpose, and met some really amazing people. So it's because in the end, it's like people who have in general, like a similar kind of mind of like wanting to discover other cultures, one who like traveling or who just like, you know, discovering the world. So
I think that's,
you can meet some really special, make special friends there.
Yeah. I think it would be wrong of me to say, it would be wrong for me not to say, but I think that our app is better. I think, you know, having that like opportunity to, you know, speak to someone, you know, via video call, and, you know, there's so much more resources on our app. So yeah, real life.
Give it a go. Give it a try.
Yeah.
And if you could have dinner with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh man. Maybe Oprah. I don't know. There's something about her story that also, you know, it's quite special. She grew up poor and, you know, look at her, one of the most, if not the most, influential woman on the planet. Yeah, I think she's amazing. She's done a lot in South Africa for young women. And I think she's...
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. She's quite inspiring. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I definitely would love to have dinner with her as well, because I think it's, again, she's talked to probably some of the most influential people in the world. Like I think she's one of the few people, for example, who had an interview with Michael Jackson when he was older. And so like all sorts of people like she had exclusive access to, and she was able to connect with them in such a way that they would feel really open to sharing things with her, to talking to her. So she must be amazing just because she has all this knowledge from talking to really incredible people, right?
Absolutely. I think, yeah, that's what amazes me about her. Like, how even is she human? Like, how does one person have that much power? But yeah, she's an interesting person, and I think it would be an amazing dinner conversation.
Have to get her on Beyond Borders someday.
Doable, life goals. Definitely. Yeah.
Doable. Just going to write her agent. What's something that makes you feel inspired or like your best self?
I think it's a cross between meditating and doing something selfless. You know, doing something for someone else, it really makes me feel good about myself and makes me feel not just like, oh yeah, I did that, but like, It's deeper than that. I think it's like on that sort of human level, like, wow, I really made a difference here. And I think that makes me feel better about myself. But Meditating. I mean, if I cannot get out, like during the pandemic, I couldn't really go out, could do a lot of things online, and I could meditate. I could do a lot of things by myself, and that makes me feel like my best self. Yeah.
I totally agree. I love with the first thing that you said, I love when people send in their stories about how something that we did, like some video or some podcast or something else, helped them to have some sort of transformation or help them to achieve some goal of theirs or something. It's like really wonderful just seeing that it actually matters. You know, it's not just like entertaining people or something like that, but it's actually like helping people to empowering them to live their best lives. So
yeah,
I also love seeing that.
And it kind of feels like your life is like you're living your purpose. Your life is aligned with what you're meant to be doing. And that gives you that extra boost of like determination and drive to keep going. So, yeah.
Exactly. So if you're listening to this, send us your stories. Don't keep them quiet. We want them.
Yeah.
So if you could do anything to improve English education in the world, what would it be? Big question, asking you to like solve big world problems, I think.
I don't know. I would probably make it compulsory for every school to use the real life curriculum. And everyone would have access to, you know, every school would need to, it would be compulsory. They would need to use real life as part of their curriculum. And, you know, on a more like practical level, I think maybe, just giving learners who don't have access to resources like the internet, I mean, it's still a problem here in South Africa, access to resources like computers or fast, high-speed internet connection. And I think if more people had that, they would have access to awesome, you know, channels and platforms like ours. And I think it would make learning English a lot easier for those people.
Yeah. I think like, especially for English speakers too, it's just like, I think that's so much like in America because people can be quite isolated and everything. Very easy, like so much if we have like all of this media, right? We have like Hollywood and stuff. So it's very easy just to be surrounded by the American culture and never break out of that. And so I think if every high school student had to spend X amount of hours like per week connecting with people from other countries and kind of like just learning about their lives and learning that there's so much outside in the world and everything, I think that could like really change the country.
Yeah, change the world.
Change the world.
And it's always amazing. Like when people hear like, oh, you're working with people from Brazil. Your boss is from this country or your coworker is from that country. Oh my gosh. Like in South Africa, people are so amazed by this. And I agree with what you're saying. I think there's, you know, not just for, you know, high school or, you know, university level students or primary students. I think like if everyone could connect to that sort of world beyond their own, you know, national bubble, I think the world would be an amazing place. So, yeah.
Well said. Is there anything that you're really curious about right now?
Maybe when will the pandemic end? Like, I'd like to know. Can someone tell me? It's been going on for too long. Someone needs to give me a deadline. When is this over?
Yeah. Well, we're coming up on 2 years, right? That's pretty crazy. But at least, I mean, I'm really grateful because like we were able to get everyone to Brazil, everyone except for Andrea, because she's obviously couldn't travel. But I found that like really, really amazing. I'm really like grateful that there were no problems getting everyone there. So we can make the best, I guess, of it. And then once it ends, it'll just be that much better.
Exactly. That's true. I heard yesterday, though, well, it's going to be dated when this airs, but I heard that like there's a fifth wave coming and like a fifth wave, like when, how many more, like what's happening? So
like fifth out of how many?
Exactly. But yeah.
I think that's the worst part of it is just not knowing when it's going to end, right?
Yeah, but you're right. I think we should just, you know, ride the wave and see where
ride the wave.
Yeah, literally, maybe. But yeah, I'm curious about when it will end. But yeah, we'll see.
What are you learning about right now?
Okay, so right now, my mom was a seamstress. So she could make anything from curtains to cushions to quilts. And she's currently teaching me how to sew. So that's something.
Wow.
Yeah, it's something I'm learning more about right now. It's quite an interesting process because she used a really big sewing machine, and I only have access to a really little one. I think it's not meant for, you know, big jobs, so maybe just like cushions. But yeah, it's an interesting, handy, old-timey skill that maybe one day I'll need. I don't know, but it's just good to know how to do.
Yeah, my mother-in-law is really good at that, and so it's like anytime, you know, you have like a little hole in your whatever, in your sweater or your pants or something. She's like, oh, you know, take that off, like give it to me. Like, and, yeah. she fixes it up. So it is like a really practical skill to know because yeah. It's like sometimes you're like, oh, I have to throw out these jeans now. And she's like, no, you don't. And you can like stretch it out for another 6 months. So it's definitely, practical skill to have.
Exactly. I agree.
And it's good for not wasting, not being wasteful. I mean, it's good, like, even if you, it's not like an economic thing that like, you know, that you can't afford to buy another pair of pants, even if it's like you have that freedom and everything, it's like nice to say like, well, let me not waste this. Let me like use it for a bit longer and everything instead of having to buy new ones.
Yeah. And repurposing things, is also quite, you know, useful to, as you're saying, like not wasting, so you can repurpose it, turn that old sweater into a teddy bear, or turn that, you know, I don't know, old pair of socks. No, don't use old socks. But you know, you could use these things for, you know, many different. You can use them in many different ways, and that's what I'm learning to do: repurpose.
Very cool. I love that kind of thing, turning something old into something new. We only have a couple more. In your own words, what does it mean for you to create a world beyond borders?
I think a world beyond borders for me would be a world where we don't allow our differences to divide us, and we're not afraid of things that are, you know, different from what we believe or what we understand. And we're open to learning about, you know, what else is out there. And this would then unite us in our shared human experiences instead of dividing us. So yeah, that would be a world beyond borders for me.
Absolutely love it. And the last question, what are you most excited about right now?
Okay, so when I got home, I was thinking a lot about what we spoke about at the beach that one day last week when you mentioned like shark cage diving. And I thought, wow, you know, I live in Cape Town. It's, you know, it's always, you know, it's something we're able to do here. And now that I've jumped into the ocean from a boat, I think I could go diving with sharks. So I mentioned to my husband that I would really like to try this, and I think I'll do it for my birthday in April.
Wow. Yeah. I want to see the pictures.
Yeah, I'll share them. I'll share them with you.
When did you say your birthday is? April?
In April, yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's coming up. It's right around the corner.
Exactly. So, yeah, this idea really excites me.
Amazing. Well, Kasia, thanks so much for your openness to answering all these questions and your patience.
Thank you. It was great.
Thank you, dear audience, for tuning in. Hopefully you can repurpose some of these questions, much like we talked about repurposing old clothes, for your own conversations, to deepen your relationship, maybe with a new acquaintance or even with an old friend, to be very curious, to learn about new people, to be more open to the world. So thanks so much for joining, and we'll see you next week on the Real Life English Podcast. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our three-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.